Open a Bible this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew, chapter 22. I want to read from verse 23 through verse 40 of Matthew, chapter 22. And speak this morning on the subject of not knowing the Scriptures, what it really means, and what it'll do if you don't know the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 22, verse 23 on through verse 40. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, it's my privilege again to stand in this place, to be able to read the Word of God here publicly, to present the message that you laid on my heart. And I'm going to ask, Father, that you'll meet the need in the hearts and lives of this people that are here in this place today. Help each one of us to be honest with ourselves and open to the truth that is here. As we go through this service, I pray that you'll encourage and meet the need as only you can, and above all else, glorify Jesus Christ our Lord. For I pray in His precious name. Amen. Verse 23, Matthew 22. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. The first, when he had married a wife, deceased, having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And what a tremendous passage that we have before us this morning. I want us to understand that folks always wanted to find some charge, some accusation against Jesus Christ, to put him in some kind of a dilemma so that he would not be able to answer with wisdom, and consequently that his message would be diminished or brought to naught. Various groups tried it at different times. We have certain ones that have presented various situations to the Lord, and we have before us this morning the Sadducees, and then of course the Pharisee, as he asked a question about the commandments, which one was the greatest. The Lord had the answer to that, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and our mind. And then we ought to love our neighbors ourselves. And he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord used the Scriptures to answer the Pharisees. To the Sadducees, they presented what would seemingly be an impossible situation. Now, it is in the Old Testament economy that, as far as the Israelites were concerned, if a brother were to die childless, that the brother would take the wife, keep her, tend to her, so that, and then raise up a child for that son, so that that name would not be lost out of Israel. Sometimes we fail to understand the significance of that, because God had promised Abraham a land, and they that were his descendants, when they went into the land, each name, family was named. They were given their portion. And the idea was that that name would never cease to be in the nation of Israel. We find that the case, there was a widow woman of the city of Nain, and she was just coming out of the city to bury her only son. And of course, she's a widow. Therefore, all hope that she would have one to carry on the family name is gone. And our Lord touched the coffin, of course, raised up that son and presented him alive to her, and her hope was restored. But it means something in the economy of the children of Israel, and so the Sadducees thought that they would present this case. They, however, do not believe in the resurrection. They would deny that there was any such thing as resurrection, and they knew nothing of the power of God. If they had known anything of the power of God, there'd not been any question about the resurrection. God's able to raise from the dead this morning, and He will one day raise from the dead. That's a hope that's in my bosom this morning that I embrace with all of my heart and soul and mind. I've got a number of loved ones on the other side now. And I'll tell you what, I embrace that truth today, but I believe that God's able, He's adequate in Himself and sufficient in power to raise from the dead. But He said there's two errors then that the Sadducees were in. One was that they did not know the power of God. I tell you what, this morning if you're saved by the grace of God, you know the power of God. Those of us who were dead in trespasses and in sin made us alive. We that were filthy in our sin, He cleansed us and finished it for heaven. And that took the power of God in our lives. But He said the other error is to the Sadducees that you don't know the Scriptures. And that's really what I want to focus our attention on here for a moment this morning, is the fact of not knowing the Scriptures. It's important today. The Bible you have before you, it's the most important book that you can possess today. Know it. Read it. Let it permeate your heart and mind today. Every decision of life ought to be made on the basis of thus saith the Lord. I'm talking about from the what we think about the least important thing to the most important thing in our lives. It needs to be according to the Word of God. We need to know the Scriptures today. But the Sadducees sadly did not. And the Lord said, you're in error. You don't know the Scriptures. You don't know the power of God. So that we'll all be on the same page, I want you to know that from our vantage point here and a scriptural vantage point, that we believe the Scriptures are literally the inspired Word of God. Not any question about that as far as I'm concerned this morning. Not any question about it as far as God is concerned this morning. Our Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. It ought to be encouraging to you today to know that you have it before you in a written page. Be the same word as you'll meet before the Lord. It'll not change. It's established forever. The world may try to destroy it, but I want you to know that it's assured today. It's guaranteed today. Holy men of God, breathed upon by the Holy Spirit, they wrote, and they wrote the very words of God. Now, God uniquely in His own person could take a man, such as you and I are today, and not change his character in that sense and personality in that sense, yet could cause them to speak, and thus saith the Lord. Back in the Old Testament, I challenge you, just begin to read through the prophets, read through the Psalms. But how many times, and I don't know, and it'll take you a good long while to look it up as it would me, when the Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto so-and-so, such as Jeremiah, or Isaiah, or one of the others, the word of the Lord came unto them. This book declares itself to be the word of God. It is a book that reveals God today. It's a book that is inspired of God today, and it is a book that has withstood the trials of time, and it is a book that will remain. So we're talking about the Scriptures this morning as we think about this book and this message. Now I want to come to the subject of the text, not knowing the Scriptures. Just the thought of not knowing. Do you realize that not knowing sometimes is very costly? Not knowing is very costly. You can have some folks that might have lived through the Great Depression. They didn't know what the stock market did one day and it fell. A lot of folks committed suicide, and others that had a measure of wealth were impoverished in just a brief span of time. I worked around an old gentleman for quite some time, and he'd talk about those days. He was a butcher, had his own store. He talked about how that his wife made a deposit at about 11:30 one morning, and by 12 o'clock he was broke and out of business. Didn't know what was going to be out in the future, and it was costly to him because he didn't know. Not knowing can lead in the wrong direction. We have a lot of help today. I never have owned one of them, and somebody had to tell me what the thing really is. It's some kind of a guidance instrument. My son finally got one, and he can get from A to B. Now, not get lost so much in between times. I'm still of the old school. I have to look at a map, and I, like a lot of men, will bluff my way as far as I can, then finally ask if I have to. But that's a hard confession, Doug. Not knowing can lead in a wrong direction. I remember reading the story. It is used as an illustration. But it's talking about really being confused about issues, not knowing. This fella was running down the road one day, and a fella asked him, said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going after the doctor." He said, "My wife's sick." The fellow said to him, "Well, you need to be going in the opposite direction. You're going the wrong direction." And the fellow said, "Yeah, but I'm sincere." A lot of folks running on sincerity today, but you're going in the wrong direction. Not knowing can lead you into the wrong direction. Not knowing can be dangerous. Seems like at times things will remind us of our ancestry and our past. Reese and I made our way up to Fort Worth just a few weeks ago to a family reunion from my side of the family. As I've mentioned before, my grandfather on my dad's side never learned to read and write. My mother had always told me as a Christian, my oldest sister brought a picture with her, a picture from about somewhere close to 1900. Might have been 1901. And there he is, along with a great host of other folks up here in Park County, Texas, probably in that old Clear Fork of the Trinity, down from the Clear Fork Baptist Church. But there's a whole host of them there to be baptized that day, and there was an X marked on the chest of my grandfather, who he was, so he could be identified as a young man. But I want to say that it was dangerous. I thought about that afterwards. How many folks that have had to go through life not being able to read, not knowing how to read, can be dangerous. That person might walk up to a building that says condemned, dangerous structure, and go right on in because they don't understand. They don't know. It can be dangerous this morning to not know. Not knowing can be deadly this morning. Not knowing the Scriptures this morning certainly leads to error. Jesus said, "You do err not knowing the Scriptures." Let me just share a few thoughts with you this morning where error will be involved if you don't know the Scriptures. Do you realize today, as precious as heaven is, that there's a lot of error about heaven? A lot of error about heaven today. A lot of folks look at heaven as just a place where we're going to just pick up and continue on as we have done so in this life. Once in a while I'll get an honest inquiry and somebody will say, "Well, what are we going to do in heaven?" Most of them are thinking about getting on a cloud and playing a harp. But I'm going to tell you one thing you're going to be doing. You're going to be studying grace in heaven. It's going to be a consistent study of the grace of God. I made the statement before, but for the sake of those who've never heard it, maybe about 10,000 years into eternity, I might be able to preach on grace like I'd like to preach on grace this morning. I tell you, it's a tremendous subject. I will not exhaust it. I believe that there's enough on the grace of God just to last on and on into eternity. As we think about the person of Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to die for us, who was willing to come into this world and live a sinless life and then die as an atonement for sin, a sin offering this morning. That's a subject to be studied. And I want to know a great deal about it. I've learned a little about it along the pilgrim's way. But I tell you what, heaven's not going to just be a continuation of this life. I've enjoyed a lot of the things that I've done in this life. It may sound crazy to some of you today, but God's been good to me. I've worked a trade I love, and I've followed a calling that I love. What more can you ask for? To be content in the thing that you can put forth your hand to do, and God provide a living with it, and then allow you the sweet privilege to preach His unsearchable riches of God in Jesus Christ down through the years. Man, be asking a whole lot if you ask any more than that. Today. God's been good to me. But I want you to know that things are going to change. It'll be different in heaven. But a lot of folks look at it as just a continuation of life. If they live in sin, they'll think, well, it'll just be tolerated in heaven and we'll just kind of continue on as we are here. But it's not so, folks. Not knowing leads to error. A lot of folks look at heaven as basically in the physical. But I want you to know that it is a spiritual part of us there. Heaven this morning is a prepared place. Our Lord Jesus Christ said it so clearly. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Having said that, then heaven is a place for a prepared people. And if you're not prepared for heaven, you won't make it there, and you wouldn't be content if you did get there because it's a prepared place. I encourage you this morning to know the Scriptures, because not knowing the Scriptures will lead to error about heaven. Just for a moment I want to deal with it. Not knowing the Scriptures will lead to error about government. Every election year, I'm talking about the major election year when a president and a good portion of the Congress are elected and a lot of other things go on. There are so many people that are looking for just that absolute deliverance. We're going to have the fix of all fixes. We'll never have another problem in this country. We get the right man in office, not so. But I want to tell you, we sometimes misunderstand. Air about government. Either looking for a Savior or an enemy. That's where a lot of folks stand today. But let me tell you something today. Government was given to protect the innocent and to punish the guilty. That's God's plan. There is to be government on earth. We're not to live in anarchy. We're not to live in rebellion against all authority. But God put an authority here. I present to you today that knowing the Scriptures will help you to appreciate this country far more. I was reading a book just the other day. And I know that there's a lot said about the founding fathers of our country. And I'm going to tell you what, the man that was responsible for the Revolutionary Army, after the British had pretty well taken New York, and it looked like the scene was going to be bleak, George Washington himself said, unless the providence of God intervened, we'll lose this war. But the providence of God did intervene. And it'll make you appreciate God and His goodness and His mercy and His grace as you know something of the history of our country today. You need to know the Scriptures, understand the purpose of government, and that it allowed us a lot of liberties today, and especially allowed us as preachers of the gospel to stand and preach today without fear of reprisal. Not knowing the Scriptures leads to error. It leads to error about authority if we don't know the Scriptures. They ask our Lord Jesus Christ one day, by what authority do you do these things? But He had an answer for them. wasn't the answer they wanted. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you by what authority I do this, if you'll tell me by what authority John preached and baptized. And was that from God? I said, we can't tell. He said, I'm not going to tell you either then. But the reason they asked the Lord that day by what authority to do this, they were thinking, we are the authority. You see, the Sanhedrin, the 70 elders of Israel, they felt like that they were just the very mind and the purpose of God. And they thought that this man ought not be preaching. But I want you to know, they were speaking to the final authority. You realize that the Bible said that God has appointed a day in the which He will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, and it's none other than Jesus Christ. He is the final authority. They were speaking to the authority, and that's the authority that He spoke with and spoke from. What authority did He have? He had authority over life and death. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And He did so. But it'll lead to error about authority if you don't know the Scriptures this morning. Then we'll deal with an important subject here. It'll lead to error about sin. Error about sin. Well, there's a lot of ideas today about sin. We've gotten to in our society that we think sin's not real bad. But I want you to know that sin is bad. Let me just read from the prophecy of Isaiah. I copied it on a sheet of paper here so I wouldn't have to take the time to turn, but in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 4, he said, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You were revolted more and more. Listen to him now. The whole head is sick. And the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and men should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. You appear before me, who hath appointed this to your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblation, and sense is abomination unto me. New moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. And he goes on to describe the order of religion of the day, and he said, it's all vile, because it's not from a pure heart. But you'll notice he spoke of the tragedy of sin in the life of the children of Israel. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Do you think today that God's going to tolerate sin in our society? Certainly not. Sin is still sinful today. Sin is still unto death today. And the only life you'll ever find is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. But we're saying it's not real bad today. It can be tolerated. But I tell you that God is intolerant of sin. Great debates going on in our land today. And I want you to know that sin is a tragedy in any nation, and it separates between us and our God as it did to Israel of old. There'll be error if we don't know the Scriptures about God. We studied in our Sunday school this morning, but I want it for an illustration. Israel told Aaron, make us a God. Oh, you're making gods today, but I want you to know that there's one God. God cannot be made. God is accepted. God is worshipped. God is adored. God is praised today because of who He is. But we don't make Him. And we don't make Him do anything that He doesn't want to do. I'm grateful today for a God who had a attentive ear to the cry of a lost sinner. May the 23rd, 1966, he heard my desperate cry and saved my hellbound soul. I want you to know that God's good, but there's an error about God today. Make us a God. Make him fit our society. No, we need to fit into the economy of God. Error about salvation, just a couple of statements. Men's works and ordinances of the churches, mostly the error that is promoted today to save the soul. But I want you to know that there's one message for the whole world today. It's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not knowing the Scriptures. Needs to err today. But knowing the Scriptures, now I'll mention three things. I've got just enough time, I think, to put three thoughts into it. It gives knowledge of God and His Christ. What did Jesus say? This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. All today, that we might know the Scriptures, that it would give us knowledge of who God is and who His Son is. I tell you what, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Oh, what a day to have my darkened mind enlightened, to have the blinders removed from my eyes so that I could see Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and died for me. Knowing the Scriptures gives you knowledge of God and His Christ. Knowing the Scriptures gives you knowledge of sin and its penalty. You know, I dealt with that issue in my life for a long time. I struggled with it. One day I'd feel saved, the next day I'd feel lost. One day I came to grips with the issue that I was lost, totally lost. Dead in trespassing and sin, and there was one hope, and that was one ray of light. God had saved me if I trust Jesus Christ, His Son. Realize how deadly sin is. It was against the holy God and unto death. Scriptures tell us all of sin comes short of the glory of God. If you know the Scriptures this morning, you can have knowledge of heaven and its bliss. Heaven and its bliss. Now, the Bible speaks sufficiently on heaven. It's going to be a glorious place. But the main thing about heaven is it's going to be glorious because Jesus Christ and the Father are the light of that place. John said there'll not be any need of the sun or the moon because God and the Lamb are the light of it. It's going to be a glorious place, folks. You can know the one that can take you there as you know the Scriptures. For the Bible said that this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. So sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Final question this morning. Will you trust the Christ of the Bible? Will you trust the Christ of the Bible? Will you accept that as adequate and sufficient in your life? If you do not, you will not, then you have no hope of heaven. Because all hope of heaven is in Jesus Christ this morning.